Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so our show, now you're on, I think I heard the producer saying that you were available for an hour?
Half an hour.
About 40 minutes. Half an hour, okay. We have four segments, and it takes 40 minutes. Is that okay? Because we can do a drop one. Yeah, that's okay, good. So what will happen is we'll get started. Wait, hold on. Yeah, I just told her that. Okay. What will happen is that you're going to hear some music. I'll introduce the show. I'll introduce you. And then we'll get started. And then in the second segment, we'll go very quickly. We'll cut out any of the commercials so that we'll stop it. There'll be music, and we'll start all over again. Okay? That cuts out a good 20 minutes of the whole show. So we'll make it by 40 minutes. Now, if you, by the fourth segment, if it's getting a little long, I can say goodbye to you in the middle of the segment and do a monologue after that. There's no problem. Okay? So that's
okay.
Good. And the other, now, I have a lot of information here. Is there an actual date for Falls Prevention Day?
Yes, Falls Prevention Awareness Day is held on the first day of fall every year. So this year it was September 22nd.
And was how many states, do you know how many states participated this year? If not, that's okay.
We think 48.
48, okay, very good. I won't shame the two that didn't participate.
Yeah.
Right. No naming.
That's right.
Of course, we're going to talk about that. But there's a lot more in your resume to talk about that I wanted to discuss, and that was you have adult evidence-based programs on behavioral health in addition to falls. So is there a particular one or two of those that you would like to talk about? Other kinds of exercise or nutrition or walking, my favorite?
Actually, depression is one on behavioral health. Yeah, so it's more mental health and substance use when you talk about behavioral health.
Okay, excellent. That's a new topic for us, and I'm very excited to do that. I'll do that second, of course. Okay?
Okay.
And we'll talk about the coalitions and what's happening there. Then I do want to talk about, and you probably do, a pretty tapped into the psychology of the baby boomer as we age, as compared to somebody who's already a super senior. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Sure.
In terms of doing these things and being willing to participate in programs, and how maybe a family member of a super senior could persuade them to involve themselves in these programs?
Absolutely.
And the other thing,
I'd also like to...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I would like to touch on some falls risks, what makes people more at risk for falling, if maybe you've already had that on your list.
We have, but you can't say it enough. And the other thing I was very interested in, I'm looking for it in the papers, there's so much here, the local programs that they get, the interactive map, that's what I was looking to do, because I think people need how to know how to find this fast. So on the public
right.
awareness, they sent me ongoing work to expand and reach visibility through media, created the highly popular State Coalition's interactive map to promote state activities. Now, is that a good thing? I did not have a chance to go on. Is that a good place to look for an individual?
No, you know, quite truthfully, I would do something. I would recommend going to their local area agency on aging. That
okay.
would actually be a faster way to find local programs.
Okay, good. And we will talk about the NCOA. I think people need to know what that is as well, just
okay.
as an organization. And there I will mention the infographic and the six steps to prevent your loved one from fall, which is on their
yes.
website. Okay?
Yes.
Good. So let me just tell them that we're ready. Oh, wait. Last but not least, the Affordable Care Act. I don't want to ask you anything that you're not fully familiar with, because I know this stuff doesn't come from you. But it does say that there are opportunities within the Act that promote discourse on these topics. Would you know yourself what's in the Act specifically?
Yes.
For that? Okay, great. All right, hold on.
Sue? All right, we are ready to go.
Yes. Ellen, is Schneider the right way to pronounce your last name?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good. You're just having some music issues. I realized I didn't ask that. I always do, because I thought I knew how to do this with you, and then, of course, it'll be Schneider or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, Ellen Schneider.
No, Schneider is correct. You got it.
Right. Now, are you Dr. Schneider as a research scientist?
No, I'm not. I have an MBA.
Okay. Oh, very, very interesting. That would be the case. Where did you? So you had a different plan in terms of business?
I went to Penn State and got my MBA, and then had a career change in my 40s, and I am thrilled that I did.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Mine was in my 50s, so, you know, it's never too late. Penn State is a beautiful school. My son went to Penn, not Penn State, so we know Penn State pretty well, because that was another one that he liked.
Yeah.
And we don't live very
close. It was wonderful.
Yeah, we live pretty close, but they're agricultural.
Oh.
Yeah, well, we're in New Jersey, but we're in far western New Jersey.
Right.
So we often go there. They have beautiful agricultural lands, which I guess
is not part of
what you were doing, right?
No, not at all.
I'm just going to ask him if he wants
to. But I did grow up on a farm.
Oh, where?
That's where I am right now, actually. In western Pennsylvania. My parents, my father just passed away at the age of 100. So I am actually on the farm clearing out 100, literally 100 years of stuff. Yeah.
this is one of the toughest things on earth. One more piece of gossip, and then we'll get started. My 93-year-old father-in-law decided to go into assisted living 2 weeks ago. So we spent last weekend. Yeah, we spent last weekend at his house. Going ahead and clearing it out.
Yeah,
so we're all doing the same thing in America.
Yes.
Yeah, that must be some tough job, though. Farm equipment and all of that.
He was actually born in the same house where he died. The farm has been in the family name since the 1800s. So it really was 100 years worth of.
Yeah.
We're just about done, though. And
right.
It's gone well.
Now, he left, by the way, and I'm going to bring this up. And if you want to bring up your dad, you can. It's up certainly to honor him. My father-in-law left because he was afraid of falling down the steps. And I was actually going to bring that up. And yesterday I called my uncle. He's fallen 20 times in the past 3 weeks. And it's a tremendous.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he hasn't been hurt, but he has fallen, and it's caused huge fights. I mean, knockdown, drag-out fights between his son, who lives with him, and the daughter, who's in the Midwest, who wants the son to make sure he goes into assisted living. And the son says, no, I'm going to stay there. But there's been a lot of falling. It's when you get into the family matters of this, it's really something. So
it's very difficult.
It is. And our show is a very in-your-face show. It's not just here's falls prevention. So we'll talk about some of those dynamics. But
that's,
hold 1 second.
Yeah, and that's great.
Yeah, I know you need to go, so I want to get it started.
Okay.
So can we...
Me again. I'm just sorry because it's never happened before. There's a little bit of an internet glitch. I have one last question, and you're at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Do you usually
you may
stay there?
That I'm full of it.
Okay, Stuart. We're ready to go. All right. I'm sorry. We're ready to go.
Okay.
Yeah. I hope.
Yeah.
He says quiet now. He's really ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
He sees hair on his head, not his shoulders, because he's living the alternative reality that we all live as we age. But this is Generation Bold, the fountain of truth. The truth about aging, so that we can not only face it, but embrace it, love it, promote it, and make younger people not fear it, but really look forward to it, following in our footsteps. Is it possible? Yes. Is it Pollyannic? No. No, people are having high old times in their 80s and 90s, and certainly not old in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. So for all of you in the fungible generation, that means nobody knows how old you really are because you look so good. This is the show for you. Now, today we have an area that I think is so underestimated, and that is the issue of falls. You may or may not know, I think I actually announced it, that September 22nd was Falls Prevention Assistance Day. And this is something that's been going on for a few years to raise awareness of the issue of falls. Now, statistically, I'll tell you, if the amount of injuries were done by, let's say, a mosquito biting us, we would call this an epidemic, and everybody would know all about it, and it would be all over the news, and it would be taking up a lot of our time in terms of media. But because these are falls of older adults, we assume that, you know, that's normal. Every 29 minutes, an older adult dies from a fall. Every 15 seconds, an older adult is treated at the emergency room for a falls-related injury. By the way, emergency room folks and time, more time is spent on falls than anything else that goes into an emergency room. We would call this an epidemic. However, we have Ellen Schneider. She's a research scientist at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. She focuses on healthy aging, including falls prevention and evidence-based programs. She's a consultant with the National Council on Aging for the past 10 years, and she works with the National Council on Aging's National Falls Prevention Resource Center. And what you're going to learn today is the importance of channeling and handling falls, their frequency, what you can do if you love an older adult who might be falls prone, how you can stop them and yourself from being falls prone, and where you can find programs in your community, and a whole lot more. So thank you, Ellen, for being with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here, and greetings to all your listeners.
Yes, absolutely, and they are listening because already the people who listen to this show know that falls are an issue in their life or their spouse's life or the life of a loved one. So let's talk, first of all, about some resources that they can tap into for themselves, because we'd like to know what falls risks are that we could take care of on our own or watch out for.
Right, and that's I'm so glad you brought that up. We want to empower older adults to learn how to reduce their risk of falling. We don't want them to be afraid of them. Again, we want them to be empowered to understand what might increase their risk and then how they can address those risks and reduce them and thus reduce their risk of falling. So there are so many risk factors that can be changed. There's some that can't be changed. I should mention those first, that the older that we get, the more likely we are to fall. And if you've had a prior fall, you're 2 to 3 times more likely to fall again. But there are, again, many, many risk factors that can be changed, like muscle weakness, gait and balance problems, vision and hearing impairment, and environmental and home safety factors.
So let's take a look at that vision and hearing, because I don't think we associate that with falls, and we should. And then we'll look at the other three that are more likely
sure.
to be on top of mind.
Right. And also use of medication is another one, which almost all older adults use medication, but the more medication that you use, the more likely you are to fall.
So, in terms of hearing,
I'd be happy to look at vision. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
now, seeing,
so vision,
I could understand. I mean, you know, we have a black carpet on a black floor, and we don't see that, you know, or we don't see a step.
Right.
But, boy, hearing, how does that increase our falls likelihood?
Right. Yes, well, with the eustachian tube and balance and dizziness, that all kind of ties together with your hearing. And just a lot of studies have shown that as you lose your hearing, you don't have those factors that are kind of coming into your brain to tell you, again, where you might be in space, and it can affect your balance and increase your risk of falling. And so typically, it's not just one of these factors that causes people to fall. It might be a combination of them. Falls are what we call multifactorial, meaning a lot of different factors can come into play to increase somebody's risk of falling.
See, the worst fall my mom ever took was right in front of me. We were in a place where we were getting some home goods, and the floor was concrete and gray, and there were ball steps. And she fell on concrete. Now, my yeah. question to you, you asked, you said one of the factors was environmental, what's going on around the home, and maybe even
yeah.
around your senior center. What should we be looking for there?
Well, there are a lot of factors. Of course, anything that might cause you to trip. So, you know, you hear about the clutter rugs, and so that, of course, is one. But even more important, lighting, making sure that there's good lighting, because as we get older, we need more lighting to be able to see well. So having that, having color contrasting strips on stair edges, which kind of goes back to the vision, it's not just visual acuity, meaning being able to see well, but also depth perception. A lot of us, as we get older, wear bifocals or those progressive lenses, and I noticed this myself when I got my first pair of progressive lenses. All of a sudden, the steps weren't where they used to be. So it's depth perception, and putting color contrasting tape on stair edges can help. And, of course, having handrails in the stairwells, in bathrooms, in hallways, so that folks, if they are feeling a little teetery, that they have something to grab onto.
Yeah. So I want to remind everybody that there is such a thing as CAPS, Certified Aging in Place Specialists, which are trained
yes.
by the National Builders Association, because a lot of people put in these grab bars, Ellen, and they do not reinforce the wall behind it. And the people go down, the grab bar goes down, and the wall comes down.
That's right. You are so
right.
right.
Yeah. All right.
Yes.
Now,
yes. Hire an OT, an occupational therapist, or somebody who knows what they're doing, to come in and put those handrails in, because they do need to go into a stud. Too many people do use the towel rack as a grab bar, and that does not work.
Quite amazing. And for those of you who are redoing
yes.
their bathrooms to be able to age in place, we here, this is Adrienne Berg, this is Generation Bold, got to tell you that again. Take a look, just Google the Forever Bathroom, and you will see an article by me about what should be in such a bathroom and even pictures of what I actually did personally. And another place for you to go, very important, would be the site for the National Council on Aging. It's very simple. NCOA.org, and you will read a wonderful article, 6 Steps to Prevent Your Loved Ones from a Fall. That's NCOA.org. Now, Ellen, we're speaking with Ellen Schneider, who's a consultant to them for 10 years. She's also very involved with behavioral health for the older adult, and she is a research scientist at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Ellen, and we have maybe a minute and a half before we end this segment. People may not know what the NCOA is, the National Council on Aging. Can you just explain that organization a little bit? Because it has so many resources in so many areas for the older adult.
Yes, we certainly do. Well, the National Council on Aging is a respected national leader and partner to help people 60 and older just meet the challenges of aging. We partner with many other nonprofit organizations, and we are nonprofit. We partner with governmental agencies and businesses to look at innovative community programs and services, online help, and advocacy. So our vision is to have a just and caring society in which all of us, as we age, live with dignity, purpose, and security. And so we do have many different areas of focus. Careers and Medicare help, and of course, healthy aging, looking at evidence-based programs for falls and also for chronic disease. And that's one within our Center for Healthy Aging.
And we'll be right back. I'm going to tell you how to learn where all your benefits are from the NCOA.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about medication and falling. And even depression will wake you up. Don't go anywhere. You can't miss this.
For my age. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, this is great. We're going to go start right away so that we can get as many segments in with you as possible, okay?
Okay,
now that we're up
great.
And running with the technology. All right, we're going to start right now, Stu, as soon as you reset everything up. So I'm going to start with NCOA has a website, which is called benefitcheckup.com. It's about money, so I don't know if you're the if you know that one, but I will
mention.
Yeah,
that is not in my. That's really not in
right,
my area
right.
of expertise.
Yeah, I've written
about that. Folks are. Yeah, we would love for folks to go there and check it out. We have a lot of resources there. And, again, encourage people to go online and take a look at all of the resources we have.
Right. You don't have to mention that one. I've written about it a lot, so I'll let people know.
Oh,
and
okay,
then
good.
We'll talk about medication. Okay, he's going to start the music again.
Okay.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, cause I am happy, and I freely admit, I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, hello, hello once again, this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And we're talking about falls and falls prevention with Ellen Schneider, research scientist at the University of North Carolina, and for 10 years a consultant with the National Council on Aging. Many of you don't know there is such a thing. It's a very important organization. And let me just tell you that in almost every one of my books recently, including How Not to Go Broke at 102, you have all of the various websites that the NCOA offers to the public for help. And one of them, my favorite one, is called benefitscheckup.org. And the other one is called benefitscheckuprx.org. And what it's really about is entitlement programs, different kind of programs, not just the ones you know, but local programs. I know many people have found dentistry through that and other local help of all kinds, including diabetic shoes, and maybe other things that help you with falls prevention, which is what we're talking about right now with Ellen Schneider. Now, Ellen, you said something intriguing to me in the first segment here about medication. You said, you know, people fall, and I believe it's an epidemic. It's an epidemic proportions, but because it's not a bug or a terrorist, we don't look at it. And a lot of people,
right.
According to this 29 minutes, almost went by in our show, and one older adult died from a fall. So this is serious business. What about this medication, and are there particular medications that can make you woozy and make you fall?
Yeah, so let's talk about medications for a minute. Again, most older adults take multiple medications, and some can affect your coordination and your balance. And some other medications, including over-the-counter drugs, may not interact well together. I had my own mother's medications reviewed when she was about 90, and all the prescription meds were fine, but she was taking a sleep aid, something with PM in it. I won't name the exact medication, but anything with PM in it can, like Tylenol PM or if there's an Advil PM, can make you a little dizzy and woozy. And so we took her off that, and she started taking melatonin to help her sleep, which is a more natural thing, herb to take. But again, medications can make you dizzy. It's better to use one pharmacy so that they can monitor what you're taking. It's good to have your medications reviewed each year. Make sure you can read your labels. And, again, review those medications with your doctor or pharmacist. Sometimes people just stay on the same medications for years and years without really needing to stay on them. So it's just a good idea to stay on top of it. And if there's something you don't need to take, just eliminate it with the help of your doctor or pharmacist.
Now, I want everyone to know that the National Council on Aging has put together some really fine, strong coalitions on falls prevention with work groups. 48 states, I won't shame the other two, are all part of this falls free resource centers and preventions. But what about you personally? Well, I did mention one article that I think is very important on the site of the NCOA. That's ncoa.org, 6 steps to prevent your loved ones from a fall. But you really have to also speak to the people at your local senior center and your area on aging, and even local assisted livings and nursing homes often have people come in and do lectures on this. It's really important. How else do you think that, let's say, a baby boomer, Ellen, could really persuade an older adult to get rid of those rugs or to be aware, heighten their awareness of falls, maybe do some exercises? I mean, psychologically, it's very difficult to say to your mom, you know, you're falls prone all of a sudden, and then you get that hand, you know, that waves you away. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, quite truthfully, focus group after focus group has shown that even folks who've had multiple falls don't think of themselves as being at risk for falling. And so we do want to make sure that people understand, we want to empower them. Again, as I talked about earlier, we want to empower folks to know how to reduce their risk of falling. So we do have a number of wonderful evidence-based falls prevention programs that are in communities across the country. Not every one of them, but many do have these evidence-based falls prevention programs, meaning that the programs have been proven to reduce your risk of falling. And they're fun. So the folks that are enrolled in them would not keep coming if they weren't getting something out of them. They're an opportunity to talk with your peers about what you might be concerned about falling, ideas for reducing your risk of falling, some exercises that have been proven to help in reducing your risk of falling. So if you call your local AAA, your area agency on aging, they'll be able to point you in the right direction to enroll in some of these evidence-based programs. And you know, understanding that the programs aren't in every community, I would first, of course, highlight, try that out and see if you do have one. But any program that will help your balance and to increase your strength, that's what's going to help reduce your risk of falling.
Okay, so most senior centers have exercise. All gyms that you might pay for have exercises. They are all bringing in the older adult programs. There's Silver Sneakers, which is specifically for the older adult. But you
right.
mentioned something, and you triggered a pet peeve, Ellen, and that is the areas on aging. People don't know they're there. They are under-promoted,
yes.
under-promoted. And so that every one of us, there are 633 in the United States, live within an area on aging. And
yes,
I believe every one of us. I think it's n4a.org. And you'll have a map, and it'll show you where it is. It'll give you a phone number. You call it. It's a navigator system, and you ask, is there a falls prevention program in my area? And if they say no, you say, shame on you. And they also ask if you can volunteer to start one. That's n4a.org. Now, again, I'm always doing this to you, Ellen, but in the minute that we have before we take our next break, baby boomers.
Yes.
Do you think baby boomers are going to do a better job and get together and talk about this stuff? It seems to be a modern generation type of thing as opposed to the silent generation. Are we handling this better, or are we even in more denial?
Well, I think most of us, again, even as we get older, the folks that are 70, 80, 90 don't think of themselves as being at risk for falling. So the important thing is prevention, again, both for ourselves, that we keep as strong as possible, and also to work with our loved ones to make sure that they understand and be empowered how they can reduce their risk of falling.
Yeah. So
I know just among my own friends, yes, I know even among my own friends, I'm a boomer, and a big topic of conversation is our parents and how
we
keep them safe. Yes, and how can we have those conversations?
We'll be back in a minute, and we're going to talk about our parents. I'm going to tell you a little story.
Terrific.
I'm going to talk a little bit about depression. But that's been Ellen Schneider. She knows it all. Don't go anywhere.
For my age.
da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. Okay, so now how are you doing on time, Ellen?
I'm fine. I'm
okay,
doing well.
Stuart,
so, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, Stuart, we're going to start again.
And I'm going to go through the end of this segment, and then I'll ask.
So how long is this segment?
Sitting everything in a different room, so he doesn't hear me. So the segment is 11 minutes. Will we? Do you have 11 minutes?
I do.
Good.
Yeah. I'm enjoying myself. So I hope I'm hitting the
areas this is great.
You would like me to talk about. Okay.
Absolutely. This is perfect. You're just having so much technical issues today. Very rare, but. Somebody doesn't want the world to be successful.
I totally understand.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know if you can hear.
I heard.
Sandy.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. But I'm okay. Those little beeps, we won't be hearing that, right?
No.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Okay. You'll hear the music again.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate.
Hello, this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth about Aging. So far, as I know, and I keep saying it, no one's corrected me, it is the only nationally syndicated radio show on aging that looks at the baby boomer, the older adult, and the caregiver, all three roles we may play at any age. Now, we're going to be talking more with Ellen Schneider, our research scientist expert from University of North Carolina, 10 years consultant with the National Council on Aging. She's also worked extensively with state health departments, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. We've had them. We've had the CDC on many times about breathability and chemicals and all this that we put all around us that make it tougher for us to thrive as we age. And Ellen knows all about this, but I'm taking a little bit of a hiatus for one second because there's a stunning piece of new legislation in the state of New Jersey. What do you care? You're in 38 other states. I know that. By the way, hello, Texas. We just added Dallas-Fort Worth. We're very proud of that. But the state of New Jersey was the worst place in the United States to die. We have both an inheritance tax like Switzerland, and we have an estate tax with a very low threshold. What is happening is, under new legislation, partially starting January 1st, 2017, and then finally January 1st, 2018, we will have no longer a state estate tax. What does it mean? Well, the reason I'm bringing it up very simply is that people in the state of New Jersey move. They move to Nevada. They move to North and South Carolina. They certainly move to Florida. They move to Costa Rica. They move out so that they don't have to live in a state that's going to tax them out of a fine, thriving retirement. Finally, the state woke up. Now, this is going to be a trend. Interestingly, our two vice presidential candidates, both Pence and Kaine, also are in states that repealed their estate tax laws. Why? Because we can't lose our retirees. And I'm very, very proud that finally, from an economic point of view, states, one after the other, are learning how important we are, not just Florida, right, not just Arizona. So to me, this is a kind of victory that goes beyond the pocketbook, that goes and looks at the value of our older citizens, the value to the economy of our states and our country for people who age. So that's my piece today. And believe it or not, it's a breakthrough. All right, and now what we don't want is to break anything, like falling. See what I did there, Ellen? I made that segue.
That was very good.
Very good. Excellent. Right on the spot.
Yes.
So National Council on Aging has a National Falls Prevention Resource Center, the AAA Area on Aging, N4A.org. We'll be able to direct you to different programs in your community. We talked about issues of environmental risk. We talked about medication awareness, vision, hearing, all the things, brittleness, balance, all the things that can make you prone to fall. But before we go on to a different topic, a little topic that deals with depression, I just do want to clear up, because I hate ageism. We have something called the Ageism Police on GenerationBoldRadio.com, where we blow the whistle on ageism. And Ellen, just clear this up. Is falls just a part of aging? I know it's not, but I think it is a pitch of the NCOA for people to understand that it doesn't have to be that way. You just don't get old and you have to fall.
That is so true. Falling is not a normal part of aging, and way too many people do still have that impression that, yeah, just because you're getting older, you're going to fall. And again, that's what we're all about, is increasing awareness of how to reduce your risk of falls, because there are so many things that we can do. We do want to empower older adults so that they know how to reduce their risk of falling.
And, you know, I had A Place for Mom on my show last week, and it was very important to me because my mother did refuse to move. And she was living in an apartment with an elevator and seemed okay. Anyway, she died of a fall. She fell.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a heart issue. But I never saw her. I was on vacation. I never saw her again. And people know this story of mine, and they know that I'm very proud of all older adults, like my 93-year-old father-in-law, who knows that their environment is no longer good for them. And he, 2 weeks ago, left his home of, I don't know how many years, I would say 70 years he was living there, maybe 73. And he voluntarily went into assisted living because he felt that the steps, he was falling on them, and he didn't want that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big deal to be able to thrive, and it is an attitude. So let's talk about attitude and depression as you get older. I know that you have expertise in this, and what's your take on that in terms of the older adult?
Right. So that's another thing that, again, a lot of people think that as we age, depression is a normal part of aging. And, again, that's just doesn't need to be so. Now, absolutely, there's a lot of loss with aging. We know that. My father lived to be 100, and so he lost my mother, his wife of almost 75 years, all of his friends, a lot of loss associated when you especially get really old. But, again, depression does not need to be part of that, deep depression. There are so many ways that we can address that. And it is such a problem. About one in every four persons 55 and older have some sort of mental health disorder, and depression is one of the most common. And we know that older adults with depression visit the doctor and emergency room more often, use more medication, actually increase their risk of heart failure by about 40%, have higher outpatient charges, and stay in the hospital longer. So it's a real issue. And again, there are a lot of things that we can do to address it.
Yeah, you know, I will say I complimented my father-in-law, compliment my mom here, because she did not come from a generation that went to shrinks. You didn't do that.
Yes.
You went to a shrink. You were not.
Yes.
And when she was about 85 or 86, she shared with me that she was depressed, and she went to see a doctor. It was a free clinic, actually. And I don't know what the therapeutic modality was, but she spent the next 5 years very, very non-depressed. It worked. And I was very, very proud
yes.
of her for taking it on herself and doing it, and I want to get that message across. And also, medications can make you depressed. So let's talk a little bit about that, about the ability to admit that you feel that way and not just write it
yes.
down to, I'm old, I have to be depressed.
Right, and that's so true. And what we tell folks is actually a sign of strength when they admit that they're having a problem, that it's something that they can do something about, they can talk with their doctors, they can get help. And there are evidence-based programs. We talked a little bit about evidence-based false prevention programs. There are also evidence-based behavioral health, and behavioral health addresses both mental health and substance abuse, but there are evidence-based programs to address depression, and some of them can be done right in the home. So, and they incorporate what's called behavioral activation, which is basically just finding things that are pleasurable, and that, you know, maybe you can't get out and garden like you used to, and that was something that you really, really enjoyed doing, but maybe there's something that you can do now, growing something in your home, or if you've moved to assisted living, that would give you pleasure. And so that's just one example of behavioral activation and seeing what you can do that maybe you used to do, but you might that gave you pleasure and made you happy, that you can incorporate some aspect of that into your life, and also set goals for being able to do those things.
Yeah, and a couple of things here too. Number one, volunteer. We do not ask enough of our older adults. When we say, in Japan, it's true. We say Japan people are national treasures. What does that really mean? It means that younger people are willing to learn from them. Here, if you want to be heard, you have to fight for it. And one of the great places to be heard, where you don't have to fight for it, is volunteering with children. They need you.
Yeah.
You know, older adults are wonderful mentors. And, boy, does that make you feel good. But I also want to, before we say goodbye, I hope that you'll stay over at least for a few minutes of our next segment, because I do think that grief, when it comes to the older adult, is a throwaway. You mentioned all the losses, and the fact is that even my father-in-law moving is a loss after so many years, just leaving all of his things. So we have those deficits. We come back and talk a little bit about how to overcome them and admit that they're there. Don't go anywhere.
And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, now I'm really pushing your time. So if you could make it to the end, great. If not, I'll say goodbye in the middle. You tell me.
Yeah, no, I can do it. I can do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
As I said, I'm good.
We're going to go back for the full segment, last segment. Right. It's only 8 minutes. Okay, that's all right. It's only 8 minutes.
And just as an FYI, when the music comes on and you're talking, I cannot hear what you're saying over the music.
That's
it's
okay.
Really loud. Just so don't ask me any questions. I know you're not, but I can't hear what you're saying when. Okay.
Right. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, I know you weren't, but I just wanted to mention that. Yeah.
No, what happens is people like you don't know the music is coming on, and so you may be talking. That gets padded down and edited so that it's sharp. Ending of a sentence you.
Okay,
and what
good.
I'm saying, yeah. And what I'm saying is, I'm just teasing the next segment. So what you can hear is me saying, don't go anywhere. We're going to be talking about this, this, and this. So don't worry about that. Okay?
Sounds good.
Okay. All right, so we're ready.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, cause I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, 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 this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the fountain of truth, about aging. Before we get on to our guest, Ellen Schneider, and we talk a little bit more about depression, the ability to overcome it, but also the ability to say that you feel that way or elicit it from a loved one, I have a complaint to make. I mean, there's 5 million complaints about this election, and I'm not going to get political because everybody is. But what's my complaint? I'm still not hearing enough about issues of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, taxation, what's going on in health care for the average senior. I mean, this has just been such an obscure area, as if it doesn't exist. I understand that this, let us simply say kindly, that this election is being driven by issues that are not necessarily to the point of our everyday lives. But I've never seen such silence with regard to aging. And I'm hoping that I'll hear more in the debates and in a couple of weeks to come. But I must tell you, I'm not optimistic, particularly optimistic. But I did promise something, Ellen. We've been speaking with Ellen Schneider. She is a research scientist, University of North Carolina. She's working with the NCOA, National Council on Aging, for more than 10 years. And she's talking about falls prevention. I did mention something in one of our other segments, and I didn't bring it to fruition, so I don't want to leave that alone. The Affordable Care Act, speaking of our government, does have some aspects to it that is helpful for falls understanding and learning. Can you pinpoint that for us?
I would be happy to. So specifically within the Prevention and Public Health Fund, which is part of the Affordable Care Act, and within that fund, $5 million has been allocated to address falls prevention through evidence-based falls prevention programs and also to fund the National Council on Aging's National Falls Prevention Resource Center. So through the Affordable Care Act has the Prevention and Public Health Fund, which then gives the money to the Administration for Community Living, and then which I'll call ACL, the Administration for Community Living. And ACL then is offering grants to nonprofit organizations, governments, tribes, to implement these evidence-based falls prevention programs. So $5 million is really not a whole lot of money. It's a $31 billion.
It's a drop in the bucket, but it's a start, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And also that it's not part of the Affordable Care Act, but CDC does get funding as well to address falls prevention. And they have been working with healthcare providers to do assessment and screening. Because a lot of times when folks go in to see their doctor, they don't get asked about whether they've fallen, and they sure aren't going to mention it because, again, they're might be a little embarrassed. There might be other issues. You know, you might only have 15 minutes when you go in, and you might not even think about bringing that up. So we're encouraging and working with more doctors to get them to ask, so have you fallen in the last year? As we talked about earlier, once you've fallen, you're 2 to 3 times more likely to fall again. But we are working with a number of grantees on these evidence-based programs.
Yeah, and I do want to, you know, many of the people who listen to my show are professionals in the field of aging. We have certainly mostly the folks, but we do have a lot of professionals. And you guys ought to know about this for your, if you're activities directors and all this. There is a falls-free coalition. And on the NCOA, there's interactive maps to promote state activities and all the things that you should be advocating for as professionals on this area of falls prevention awareness. So that's FYI for all of my homies out there who are in the field of aging to begin with. Okay. Now, you know, we talked about the issues of depression and being able to mention it, even mentioning it. As you just said, people don't even want to mention that they fell. They're embarrassed.
Right.
So imagine.
Right.
So the issue here is grief. we like, even with children who lose their parents, they have to go back to school in a week. You know, it's like, well, you lost a dad. Okay, you'll get another one. What can we do about this in terms of grief counseling for older adults so that it doesn't appear to be that it must be that way? It doesn't must be that way.
No, and there are so many resources out there. And, you know, and I understand grief. I've lost both of my parents now. And I think you, at least with me, I didn't really get how grief can affect you and just be so overwhelming until you actually go through it. So for anybody who's out there and is grieving, you know, I certainly can empathize after, again, losing both my parents. But there is help. There, you know, I would encourage you to talk with your doctor. There are a lot of support groups. Through places of worship, there are programs called Grief Share. There are also volunteers who've had lots of training called Stephen Ministers that are in lots of congregations across the United States who would be, and that's what they do, is one-on-one counseling. They've had 50 hours of training to be able to work with you and just let you talk. Sometimes it's just as simple as, you know, being a friend and letting them talk and being there for them. But again, it's important to talk about it, and there are a lot of resources to help with that. And your AAA may be able to, your Area Agency on Aging may be able to help you find someone as well. And certainly your place of worship would be another place to turn.
Yeah, and you know, I have a hint and a tip. I'm a grief facilitator for kids who've lost parents, not for the older adults.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been a friendly visitor to an older adult. And so if you are a volunteer and you're volunteer-minded, you can really help people, and they'll give you that 50 hours of training. My organization that I volunteer with is called Good Grief. But if you're looking for an organization, a volunteer organization to help you, one hint and tip is to go on volunteermatch.com, which is actually a place for people who would like to volunteer. And they want to see where they'd like to volunteer, whether it's with older adults, kids, food banks, whatever it is. You can go on there,
yes,
and you can see everything in your community. Even if you don't want to volunteer, if you just want to use a community group for yourself. So that's something people don't know. But Ellen, I
absolutely
cannot believe
and
this.
Like,
go ahead.
I was just going to mention that there's a lot of research behind volunteers and being good for the volunteers as well.
It
as
is.
The
it's good for
the
volunteer,
helping.
And it'll make you less depressed.
Yeah.
But I'm depressed because we have to leave. Thank you, Ellen. And you know what I would say? Get out there, kids, and
my
make
pleasure.
It happen. Wow. Fantastic.
Great. Yeah, that was fun. I hope that your
so.
Listeners get something out of it.
Oh, I think they got a lot out of it. Okay, so what happens is the middle of next week, our website, Generation Bold Radio, will have you on the front page there, and we'll have this all archived. It'll be live this Sunday in 38 states starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. But some places also play it Saturday night, or they play it twice. Now, anybody could hear this on their cell phone or their computer if they have the free app. So if you want, you know, friends or whatever to hear it, they just go to BizTalk, BizTalk, and get the free app, and they can hear you live wherever they are.
Great.
And that's,
Adrian,
that's
this
good.
Has been a pleasure.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Terrific.
We love this.
It's been my
All right.
pleasure. Yes.
Take
okay,
care
thank
and go
you so
clean
much.
Out. Go clean out. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
we
really.
We had so much must and mold that I got sick from it. I don't know if you have that.
With us, it's more dust. We did the attic yesterday, and, dust was flying everywhere. But, okay, well, I will run then, and again, thank you so much. It was really
take
been
care.
A pleasure.
Right.
You too. Bye-bye.